There are two teams in the American Football Conference with 3 wins and 0 losses. There could be a third team that joins them tonight in one of the 2 Monday Night Football games. But the Kansas City Chiefs and your Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-0, the only teams across the board in the AFC that can say that. And at worst, after this set of games tonight, the Steelers will also have a 2-game lead on the rest of the AFC North after 3 games. The Ravens are 1-2. The Browns are 1-2. And the Bengals, with a win tonight, would be 1-2. A loss would send them to 0-3. It's Donnie Football with you here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. A short one tonight. We will have that Bengals Commanders game right here on these airwaves. 7:30 is when the NFL on Westwood One coverage begins. So you can tune in right here on The Fan to listen to that game. You can also tune in on your Odyssey app to listen to that game. And the other Monday Night Football game tonight in Buffalo, the Bills and the Jags kick off at 7:30. The Steelers making a bit of a statement yesterday. 20-10, Pittsburgh beating the LA Chargers, and they played some bully ball in the second half and in the final stretch of that game. I gave out 3 game balls for this game earlier with Pony and Chris. I will do it again here before I get to some real takeaways that I had from this one that put the Steelers at a 3-win-0-loss record. Calvin Austin gets one. 4 receptions, 95 yards. He had the 55-yard touchdown. I saw some people say, oh, well, that guy almost caught him at the goal line. If you go back and watch that play, given, you know, where he had to go from and given the position he was in, you could still see some of that breakaway speed from Calvin Austin, who now in back-to-back seasons has big touchdown receptions in week 3. Justin Fields gets another one because Justin Fields, and I will get more into this in a little bit, I thought he played easily his most complete game in the black and gold. One of the most complete games in his NFL career. Now, despite what everybody wants to tell you, he actually did have some games in Chicago where he popped off. He had some big games in the last couple of seasons with the Bears. It was the inconsistency that really did him in. 25 of 32, 245, 1 touchdown through the air, 1 touchdown on the ground. His first rushing touchdown with the Steelers. He also did have an interception in that game, a goofy play, ball batted up in the air, and of course, Bud Dupree, of all people, comes down with it. Nick Herbig gets the other one. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, and he only played 19 snaps in that game. Joel Nelson with me tonight behind the glass. By the way, Joel, did you know that Herbig only played 19 snaps and he caused that much damage on the defensive side of the ball?
Did not know that part, Donnie. That's pretty incredible to be playing less than 1/5 of the snaps and kind of change the game, almost like it was TJ Watt out there.
And I want to jump into that Steelers defense a little bit more as I get into the takeaways that I had from this 20-10 win. That Steelers defense is legit. Only team over the last 10 years to win their first 3 games while allowing 10 or fewer points in each game. That is the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Chargers had -5 yards of offense in the second half in yesterday's game. I know Justin Herbert got knocked out of the game, but that is also, I think, you have to credit the Steelers for that. They knew, everybody knew, that Justin Herbert was compromised going into the game. The Steelers knew, hey, if we hit this guy, it might not take too many for him to exit the game. And Herbert was looking pretty good before that exit took place, don't get me wrong. He had himself a nice game brewing before he was taken out. He was 12 of 18, 125, a touchdown. The rating was over 105. And to the Steelers' credit, they attacked. They brought the blitz. They put Herbert on the ground a couple of times. The second time, the one that did him in, a sack courtesy of our guy here at the Fan, a Landon Roberts. The Landon Roberts Show, by the way, this Thursday from 6 to 7. And I will be joining him this week from Minio's in Allison Park. So please tune into that. This defense so far this season, and I saw Jeremy Fowler from ESPN put this out there, they rank first in total defense, allowing 229.7 yards per game. First in scoring defense, 8.7 points per game. Third in rushing defense, 71.3 yards per game. And they are at number six in pass defense, 158.3 yards per game. The defense that, at least in this era, we always go back to, I always like to go back to it because it was in my formative years as a Fan, that 2008 Super Bowl winning defense, the Steelers across the board were the best in football in multiple categories, and if they weren't first, they were probably second or third. What did that defense rank? Total defense, first, 237.2 yards. Scoring defense, first, 13.9 points per game allowed. Rushing defense, second, 80.3 yards. Pass defense, first, 156.9 yards per game. I know, we're only three games in. You're getting way out ahead of your skis. Don't ever, ever, ever compare this defense to that one in 2008. And I am normally one of those people saying that. But it is finally time that this defense has played up to the price tag and the coaching that we have seen. They are playing awesome football on that side. They are getting after people. They are not letting anything beat them deep. And I think those first two games look a little bit different after this week's set of games. Because, yeah, Justin Herbert dinged up. They still looked good against that Chargers offense. The Broncos come out of nowhere. They hang almost 30 points on Tampa Bay. And the Atlanta Falcons, they're 1-2. They look like one of the better 1-2 teams in all of football. They took the Chiefs down to the wire last night on Sunday Night Football. They went into Philadelphia last Monday and won. And they looked awful offensively against this Steelers defense. Mike Tomlin and his staff, they deserve a lot of credit. I was bashing Mike Tomlin last season. People bash him all the time. I'm sure we could have people tonight that still want to call in and bash Mike Tomlin at 412-928-9370, because I do want to hear what you out there think of your Steelers at 3-0. We have criticized the hires that he's made in the past, specifically at offensive coordinator, but it looks like the Steelers have a competent mind for the first time in a long time at that role. Arthur Smith, it looks like he knows what he's doing. And he hasn't lied to us yet. He explained a couple of weeks ago why they avoided the middle of the field against the Falcons. He respected their safeties a ton. Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, two of the better ones in football. And people thought, oh, it's probably just an excuse. He doesn't want anything between the hashes. By the way, both of those safeties have had big interceptions in the last 2 weeks. Just ask Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, who happen to be pretty good quarterbacks in their own right. And yesterday they attacked. They attacked the middle of the field. And Justin Fields easily with his most complete game. He was pinpoint in that effort. You can't laugh at that passing chart you see that gets put out there, because it looked legit. It was all over the place. He was able to beat them on every single angle of the field. But Mike Tomlin also deserves credit for that defense. Terrell Austin is the DC, but we know how much control Coach T has over that group, and they have been elite. We may not always love the style, but it is working. This team also has a really good problem at edge rusher. A lot will be made of what Nick Herbig did. And listen, he was an ass kicker yesterday. Two sacks, two TFLs. He played 19 snaps. He was my top player of the game. The debates have now begun with people asking if he is a better player than Alex Highsmith. Oh, should they have paid Highsmith? Should they have traded Highsmith for a receiver? Malzi kept floating out all summer. Should they trade Highsmith for Terry McLaurin? The Steelers now have the ability, injury aside, to have a pretty unbeatable three-man rotation at edge rusher. They have three either good or great players in one of the game's most important positions. The most important position on the defense has turned into the man off the edge. And I would say Herbig starting to look like a good player. The sample size getting a little bit bigger. I think Alex Highsmith is a really good player. And we know that TJ Watt is among the game's best at that position. Cam Hayward is also living up to his deal so far. Everyone was crying about that one too. The amount of pushback that we saw when the Steelers extended Cam Hayward, I almost couldn't believe it. Like, people acted as if it was their money being spent on that deal. And so far, it has been well spent. Maybe he's not stuffing the stat sheet every single week, but Hayward looks very, very good three games in. Had a sack yesterday. In fact, he is now second all-time behind only TJ Watt in Steelers history in the sack category. He passed up James Harrison yesterday. And if you have access out there to the All-22 film, you know, not everybody can get it right after the game. One of those guys that does so, Nick Farabaugh, will be joining us just after 7 o'clock as we lead you into Monday Night Football. But maybe you have NFL Plus. If not, I recommend it. Gives you the ability to watch back full games, condensed games, and eventually, normally about 24 to 48 hours after the game is played, you have access to that All-22 film, like the coaches watch, like the players watch. And Hayward looks like a man possessed in some of those reps. He looks like a man beast on the field. What he is able to do in his mid-30s, he's beating people up on the opposite side of the football. And I'd say that contract ain't looking so bad just three games in. Speaking of other deals, Zach Frazier is the real one. That dude is good. He is the real McCoy in the middle of that offensive line. Again, if you have NFL Plus or you have an ability to watch the games back, watch that coach's film, the Steelers have their center for the next decade. Beyond a few quarterback center exchanges in the early weeks of the season, he already has what you want in a starting center in this league, and he is bound to join the lineage of great Steelers at that position. maybe he's not quite to the level of all-time greats like Mike Webster, Dermonti Dawson, or a guy that is a borderline Hall of Famer like Maurkice Pouncey. But I think this kid is going to be really, really good in the Steelers' trenches for 10-plus years. And last but not least, I do think the Steelers have found their QB1. I felt like Justin Fields had started to win things over after just week one. The feeling involved, it gave me the sense that it was his job to lose at that point. He didn't have eye-popping numbers in that week one win against the Falcons. But it just gave me a bit of a feeling of, I think there's something here, and I think Mike Tomlin is a big fan of what he sees. Then the Steelers won in week two. He protected the football. He made some big-time throws. Again, the numbers not eye-popping, but he showed the ability to make the throws, move the offense down the field, score enough points to win the game, and he didn't turn the football over. Then the Steelers won again in week three. They played another 2-0 team, a team that really matches the same style that the Steelers like to play. He did turn the football over, as mentioned, that goofy interception that Bud Dupree came down with, but he made big throw after big throw all over the field, to the boundary on either side, and especially to the middle of the field. He, at points, was dissecting that Chargers defense, which, to their own credit, through a couple of weeks into the season, was also playing at a very, very high level. And Fields looks like the coachable player that people told us he wasn't in Chicago. Oh, this guy's 10-28 as a starter. He can't win. You don't want him leading your offense. He turns the football over too much. He's a mess. All he can do is run. He did have a rushing touchdown yesterday, but he has not leaned on that athleticism and those legs nearly as much as I anticipated. And I'm going to guess not nearly as much as you out there listening anticipated. You probably expected this guy to just take off and run almost every single chance he got. He had 6 rushing attempts yesterday for 6 yards. The Steelers won the game by 2 scores. He threw for 245, had a touchdown through the air and on the ground. He has played to the Tomlin tune, and he has done it well. I think you should give credit where it's due. And I think this kid is your guy going forward. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Your thoughts on the Steelers starting 3-0. Their first home opener victory since 2020. Their first home opener victory with fans in the stands since 2017. A year in which they went 13-3. Is Justin Fields the guy in your mind? 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on Hayward, Herbig, Highsmith, Watt, Frazier, whoever you want to throw out there. 412-928-9370. Your big takeaways through the first 3 weeks of this season, and your reaction to the Steelers beating the Chargers yesterday 20-10 to move to 3-0. 412-928-9370. I would love to hear from all of you coming up next. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on the fan text line, 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It is Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.